like trying to discredit the Yellow Vest by saying that the Yellow Vest is a dangerous and violent movement is quite pathetic, because it's based by citizens, it's organized by citizens. And if you are disagreeing with the system and you're starting to really feel that there's something wrong in the way we are depicting reality and the way we have been divided for years, and you're welcome in the Yellow Vest. If you're just losing once or twice, you're like, okay, fine, I'm not good. But when you're losing for years, and then you're suddenly starting to lose your dignity and starting to lose your privilege and starting to lose your everything that has value for you, you come to a point where the first thing that you have to do is to basically freeze. We don't need you. We are the power. We are the one producing value. We are the one making everything happen. We are the one making these whole things existing. Like, those people who claim to be the power are just stealing the power from us. We are the powerful. We are the employers. They are the employee. But they actually make us believe that they are the employers and we are the employee. But they are scared about us realizing that we are powerful. Let me repeat again. They are scared of us realizing that we are powerful. Okay.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. This show, we are going to focus on the Yellow Vest movement in France. I have been told by many people and things that I've been researching that what's happening on the ground is very different than the way the media, surprise, than what the media is telling us. So I have a person who's emerging as one of the leaders of the group. His name is Roman Light. He's a French citizen, and I have an interview from France. Now, he's going to say he is not one of the leaders. He's just, nobody leads the movement. He's just a dad. And I would say that, you know, they don't want to have leaders. They want everyone to come together. And he talks about that. But he really is emerging as one of the leaders in this movement, and he gives insight onto everything that's going on with the movement, what their objectives are, why the elites are so afraid of this, because there is almost 10% of the people in France that are participating in this movement. And as you know, anytime you get this many people participating, it can easily turn into a revolution that takes hold, instead of just a protest or just, you know, disgruntled citizens. And so they're working really hard to push this and to suppress this movement. They're claiming that the movement is shrinking, but in reality, it's growing, which is really interesting. He has a video that he put up on his Facebook that started to go viral, and then they shut it down and really censored it. So I have that up for my Patreons. So if you're a member, you can go see it there. I have also added Quiet Weapons for Quiet Wars, the ebook up there, and I've been adding more lately. So I kind of took a break during the holidays, which I really needed a much needed break. And now I'm starting to really get going again and putting a lot more up there for my Patreon. So you can see that there. And now let's get into my interview with Roman Light. Hi, Roman. Thank you so much for joining the program.
Thank you, Sarah, for having me.
You have been really active in the Yellow Vest movement in France. And, you know, that movement has been scaring a lot of people worldwide. Why do you think it's having such an impact?
I guess, like, every time there's a movement anywhere on the planet that is challenging a little bit the status quo and that is challenging a little bit the establishment, surprisingly, everyone is using the fear card to basically trying to scare people from that thing. And most of the time, we had the same thing with Occupy. We had the same thing with many peaceful movements. And they're like, oh, yeah, they try to discredit the movement, saying, like, ridiculous things. And for the people who are looking a little bit further away from what the mainstream media are saying, most of the time, they're going to find out that it's literally exactly the opposite of what the mainstream media are saying. Like, trying to discredit the Yellow Vest by saying that the Yellow Vest is a dangerous and violent and movement is quite pathetic, because it's based by citizens, it's organized by citizens, and you can try to qualify citizens as dangerous and violent the way you want, but the truth is that there's moms and dads and kids and old people. Like, if those people are violent, then therefore, like, we're all violent, we're all terrorists. So, and yeah, that become a little bit ridiculous. So when you hear this type of disinformation, you have two choices: or you're going to start to get distrusting everything that is surrounding you, or you're going to try start to distrust the media, which are always using the same method to deter the truth from the people.
Well, they're saying that you are very violent, and they're showing pictures of people who are violent, because there are a small percentage, right? Now, do you believe those people who are violent are actually authentic, or do you think they're planted in the movement to discredit you?
Yeah, of course. Like, there's like the group is made of people, and in the people, the vast majority of the people are peaceful, but then you can still have some groups of people who can express a form of violence if they want to. But there's two trick in that situation. The first one is that the media are only targeting images showing violent people in Paris. Like, Paris is not France. Like, Paris is a part of France. And when you pay attention and you're starting to see that the violence is always happening in the same place, you can start to question a little bit if this violence is genuine. Or, because if you could show people getting violent all across the country, you could maybe is starting to say that there's something wrong. But violence is just a symptom. The reason why people are getting violent is because they are despair, they're getting through despair. I'm not saying that every people who go through despair wants to become violent. I'm saying that, yes, you know, in a way, there's already, we've been infiltrated by people who we think, and we have proof of that, have been paid by the government to discredit the movement by showing weird behavior. The truth is that we are citizens. So if you start to try to summarize the ultra minority and starting to say like 99 other percent, which are all peaceful people, like, are violent, like, you basically lose credibility. The problem is that people who believe media again today, who are still believing media today, are people who need to wake up to the truth that we need to take responsibility for what's going on, and we cannot continue believing everything that the media are saying.
Well, how large is this movement? It's across the entire country in many cities. And what percentage of people are participating?
This number is really hard to define, because it's a popular movement. So it's coming from people who are basically fed up with politics. And anyone can become a yellow vest just by wearing a yellow vest. The yellow vest doesn't really believe in political parties, doesn't believe in religion, doesn't believe in union, doesn't believe in division in any way, shape, or form, left, right, science, religion, whatever. It's just human beings. We are recognized as human beings, and we want to transcend these really bad habits that we've been trained to believe, that people can be categorized into different groups. And we basically take people for what they are. And if you are disagreeing with the system and you're starting to really feel that there's something wrong in the way we are depicting reality and the way we have been divided for years, and you're welcome in the yellow vest, basically. So it's a very interesting movement because, first of all, there's no leaders, which mean that the government, which is used to actually deal with people, and this is how they can control people, by making everyone believe that if you are electing a person and that person is going to speak on your behalf, then therefore whatever this person is going to say, you are going to be responsible for that. This is the so-called democracy, and I really speak about so-called democracy because democracy isn't that. Like, it's actually quite the opposite of that, and this is what the people are starting to realize, that there's a real huge trick in the way we've been educated about the way politics should be managed and the way we should play with that game of politics. And most of the French people didn't really get it straight away. Like, the people were just fed up with whatever was going on in the country, and they just decided to, you know, it's like when you're playing with cheaters, you know, playing poker, for example, and you're losing, and then you're losing, and then you're losing, and losing, and losing. And like, what's going on here? You know, like, if you're just losing once or twice, you're like, okay, fine, I'm not good. But when you're losing for years, and then you're suddenly starting to lose your dignity, and starting to lose your privilege, and starting to lose your everything that has value for you, you come to a point where the first thing that you have to do is to basically freeze. And this is what the Yellow Vest is about. It's about freezing and say, like, just a second, let's have a rational look at the way we are behaving and the way we've been pushed by different tool for years to go in one direction or the other direction, and let's look at the results. And when we look at the result, it's not a really good result. Like, and the whole idea is now to starting to realize this and starting to come together and say, okay, how can we do things differently? So it's a very it's a very peaceful movement. Like initially, the people just wanted to walk, and that was about it. But the government, which decided to put some oil on the fire, just basically refused to listen. And when you are peacefully speaking to people, and you're facing people which are really heavily weaponized, and those people basically look at you and don't say a word, and suddenly they're starting to march on you and hit you hardly and sending you bombs and tear gas and hitting your kids and your older people, your elders. You're like, what the hell is going on here? And this is a massive awakening about the true nature of what we call this so-called democracy, which is basically a governance based on, if you agree with us, we're going to call you citizen. But as soon as you disagree with us, then we're going to show you who's the boss. And that's the massive awakening that is going on in a French country, because a lot of people were asleep about the true nature of this so-called democracy. But when they saw that just by walking outside peacefully wearing a yellow vest, suddenly you could be surrounded by cops who, just because they received the order, could start to hit you and to arrest you and to do things which are going against all the international laws, people had to wake up to there's something absolutely going wrong in the system.
The Geneva Code, yeah. Now, I heard that some of the police officers and military were actually siding with the citizens and standing down. Is that true?
One of the most important survival tools of all time, this incredibly lightweight sleeping bags has the power to protect you from the number one killer in a crisis, exposure to elements. This emergency bag also reflects 90% of your body heat back to you thanks to its durable space-age material. This ingenious device helps you keep practically anyone warm and dry in bad weather. Look for the links below. You can also get, as an additional item, this combo pack. It's an ultra-powerful police-grade 18% pepper spray with an ultra-discreet 3-million-volt stun gun. I am getting these for every one of the women in my family. I believe we should all be carrying this for self-defense. And with gun laws becoming stricter than ever, what a great option for women in your family, or even men in your family, to be safe. With purchase of any other item, you can get this for only $29. So click the links below to find out more information.
It's really hard to define again, because especially for me, I'm not only speaking from my own perspective. Like, there's no leaders, as we said. No one. We are basically recognizing that we need to change all those bad habits that we had for years, to claim that people could have a better knowledge than anyone else, that people could speak better than anyone else. Like, each individual just recognize its right to express its own truth. And this is the spirit of the Yellow Vest. In regards to what the cops are doing, like, my position in that space is to, every time that I'm facing a cop, I'm like, you know, brother, like, we are citizens, both of us. We are brothers and sisters. We are parents. We are caring for our lands. We love each other. And the only thing that separates us is the identity. And you believe that your identity is to be a cop and to follow orders. My identity is to believe that I'm a free man and I deserve respect. And when I'm having to deal with a government that doesn't respect my basic right, it is my duty to step out and to stop. Like, I respect what you're doing, but if we're on the same page, maybe we should actually think about a better way to deal with each other. So I never really had any issue with cops. I just know that I'm not expecting to have a discussion with most of them. Some of them are really open to that. Some of them just look at me and say, you know what, I'm exactly in the same position. I'm a yellow vest. The only thing is I sign up a contract, and in that contract it says that if I'm not following the orders, I can lose my job, I can lose my pension, I can lose everything. And my role is basically to come back to that guy and say, you know, buddy, like, that's exactly where I'm at already. But I decided to step out of my comfortable zone because we have much more to lose if we are not, if we're just following what we've been programmed to do, then just stepping out of that system and take the courage to inspire others to do the same.
Well, what would you say is the main reasons, the trigger points that got people out there on the streets? Because there always is a little bit something that triggers people. Was it the gas tax that triggered people? Or is that a media narrative that's not true?
The gas is just the drop that makes everything overflow. Like the glass was already overflowed, and just put the drop, the excess drop. Like, we only needed an excuse. I'm often talking to a lot of people who said, like, but you know, like, that president actually insulted the French people many times over the years. And I was actually surprised to hear the people not saying anything. And me too. I was like, oh, wow, that's the first time that we have such an arrogant prick president, that a 40-year-old guy paid by the Rothschild. Oh, he said that, like, just look at it. Like, he quotes, like, French are psychopaths, or French are paranoid, or French are lazy people, or French are, like, if you take over a year and a half, like, this man has insulted his own citizen more than any other president in the whole 60 years. And that's, again, what the mainstream media will never mention. Like, they never mention, like, all the stupid thing that that guy did. And I call him an arrogant prick, because Macron was completely unknown a year and a half before he has been elected. So, like, we're not stupid. We know that we are dealing with a corrupted system that is deeply corrupted, the same way the whole world is. Like, in America, it's the same. In England, it's the same. Like, it's a kind of secret that everyone knows. Like, and we are coming. So, to answer your question, we are coming to a point where humanity needs to wake up and humanity needs to come together. And we were waiting this moment for years. We thought we had that thing starting with the Occupy movement, and this brought a lot of hope to the world. But the thing is that the governments are very sneaky, and they understand exactly how to divide and how to separate people. And the people are naive enough to believe that that's okay to be separated, because they are just genuine and naive people. The French have learned a lot about a previous mistake, and now they're strongly determined. Like, I think if Macron was a little bit more experienced, he would basically say, okay, guys, I understand you. You need to reduce the tax. Not a problem. We're going to reduce the tax. The people would get back home. They would just get back to their misery and miserable life, and that would be fine. But the thing is that he has been stupid enough to say, like, fuck off. Sorry for my – excuse my French. And the people basically escalated. And the more they escalated, the more he sent violent people. And now we have – I don't know if people realize, but last weekend we had 3,000 peaceful protesters who has been arrested. 3,000. Like, when we arrived to those, they were not doing anything. They were just getting out. And you have hundreds of videos online for the people who are clever enough to look beyond the mainstream media and just look for the truth and not just what they want to hear. There's hundreds of hours of videos showing peaceful people, like, walking with their hands up, being smashed, being beating up by cops. We have even videos showing people who just have a chat and suddenly cops are coming and throw a bomb to them, like dispersion bomb, which are exploding in their foot. And how do you justify that? Like, based on which whatever belief system that order needs to be prevailed against freedom of speech or freedom of movement? Like, where in our mind did we allow this to happen? And the truth is that this, every democratic system based on voting and giving away your right to stand for your own power has the roots of this kind of event. And we saw that during the Second World War. Let's never forget that Hitler has been elected. Let's never forget that. Like, the representation based on I am voting for my masters has the seed of this possible outcome. And I think this is what the French people are going through now. And this is my message to the world about the referendum initiative, about the citizen.
Well, Hitler, the first thing he did is disarm the people, got rid of the guns. You are a disarmed nation. Do you believe that gives the government more arrogance, more confidence to just do what they want on the people?
I guess it's not really a matter of that, because I think it's stupidity who really give the power to governments to believe that people will basically, like, what they don't understood is that people go into a space of despair, And despair is something that most of us are afraid of, but it's a huge amount, it's a huge energy, it's a beautiful potential of energy, because when you are despaired and you have nothing to lose, this is where real transformation and transmutation can happen in society. And that young man, that Macron, that was entirely unknown a year and a half ago, and suddenly has made, I think, 25,000 first page of news, to suddenly become elected by, I think, about 25% of the population. Like, media are always saying, oh, he got like 40% of the electors. Yeah, but it was 40% of 40 or 50% of people who voted. So only 20, 25% of the whole population voted for that guy, which means that 70%.
Do you believe the results? Because some of the reports I saw was that that election was fixed in France.
Was fixed? What do you mean fixed?
It was rigged. It wasn't a true election. Like, he was placed there. Is that true?
Of course he was placed there. This guy was completely unknown a year and a half, 2 years before, and he's an ancient banker from the Rothschild. Like, and we already had in our history, like, Pompidou in the 60s, like, just after de Gaulle has been elected, and he was an ancient banker. Giscard d'Estaing, which just came after him, was also working for the Rothschild. And as a coincidence, Mr. Macron used to work for the Rothschild Bank and just pop up out of nowhere. And I think people are just fed up with that thing.
It's so obvious. It's ridiculous. People don't want that. But my question is, now, did he win because they put a lot of money behind him and smacked him over all the newspapers and just manipulated the people? Because that's something they can do. They have the power to just get every newspaper to put him on the front page, and then he wins because of the exposure. Or did they actually fix votes?
Maybe both. Like, who knows? I cannot say anything about that. But the truth is that France, the whole media, 98% of the French media are controlled by 9 billionaires. When you said that, you said everything. That's the end of the story. If 9 billionaires are controlling the media and they decide to put that type of guy in power for whatever reason, because this is feeding their agenda, then, like, people are not stupid. You know, like, we know that those billionaires doesn't have our own interests as a priority, like, because we are people who are having that connection with the land, that connection with that country, with that history, and we are the one paying for the consequences of their mistake. So we know what we have to lose, where those people are like parasite, making huge money on people's ignorance, and we are getting out of that comfortable zone and starting to reconnect to each other and stopping, like, to use those multimedia, like TV, mainstream media and social media to go out and starting to recognize each other as brothers and sisters. And this is the beautiful things of the yellow vest, is that anyone can just wear a yellow vest, go out, speak to people, and suddenly say, oh, like, we're all human beings, and we all have, we agree to disagree, and that's perfectly fine. We don't have to be enemy. We don't have to, like, put ourselves into boxes and, like, bitch at each other, because this is pathetic. This is not like how adults are working, but the job of the media for years was to actually separate and divide and conquer. And this has to come to an end.
Is the movement growing or is it slowing down? I mean, are they being successful? The government's successful at slowing down this movement?
So the basic answer is, it is time now for people to systematically take the opposite of what the mainstream media are saying. So mainstream media are saying that this is slowing down, so therefore the movement is growing. That's the truth. Like, until the people realize that the mainstream media are fake news machine producers, until the people realize that everything that they're saying is organized and controlled by wealthy people who have absolutely no interest for all of us to be happy and free, then whatever they're going to say, basically do the opposite. So to give you a number, the first time I went to a movement, we were probably like 2,000 or 3,000 people in the street. Last time that I've been there in one city, I'm just talking about one city, we were probably 6,000 or 7,000. And only a question of months. So we doubled in about a month's time. But if you're listening to the media, they're like, oh, look, Paris is empty, so therefore the movement is slowing down. What they don't tell you is that now they put cops every Saturday, they put all the cops for the last 2 months, every Saturday, surrounding the Champs-Élysées and all that space. And now you cannot even go to the Champs-Élysées with a yellow vest or even with a glove. If you have a glove, they take the glove from you and they block you from going anywhere. And then they can film and say, look, there's no one in the Champs-Élysées, which is, again, pathetic. Like, first of all, it's trying to reduce the Yellow Vest movement, which is, I think we have about 2,000 points all across France, and trying to reduce the 2,000 points into one place, which is the Champs-Élysées. And the second thing is like, oh, look, like we blocked everyone to go in the Champs-Élysées, and now, look, there's no one there. Here we go, we succeeded. This is pathetic. This is like this is absurd.
Does it almost feel like a brutal dictatorship where they won't even let you voice your opinions or concerns in a peaceful manner?
The true question behind all this is, over the last 200 years, we never tried anything different than associating election with the right to choose our masters, because that's the way we should reprogram ourselves. We've been programmed to believe that democracy is the right to choose your masters. Okay, that's what we do. We elect people who are going to speak on our behalf. If we study a little bit this practice in a social matter, what makes human beings wise? It's the decision that they make and the fact that they're facing the consequences. When we are electing someone, we are basically giving the right to people who will not make decisions on our behalf to avoid facing the consequences of their decisions. We, the people, will face the consequences of their decision. If someone elected makes something stupid economically, it's the people it's the people taxed who are going to pay for that mistake. If someone elected decides to send people in war, he's not going to go to war. He's going to send his citizens going to war. And we never really question, like, in a natural way, like someone that is constantly doing the same thing over and over and over again and never learn from the mistakes has a clinical terminology. It's called a psychopath. So we need to come to the conclusion that the representation democracy based on I'm going to elect someone to make decisions on my behalf is a machine to produce psychopaths, because those psychopaths will never face the consequences of the decision that they're going to make. And if the only consequence is that, oh, I'm not going to be reelected, but you know what, by the way, I'm going to be employed by all my friends and I'm going to sell my services to all the private and public businesses, those people couldn't care less about your interest. And we need to stop like hiding ourselves behind those fake illusion that system is okay, because there's many, many, many other systems that could work 100 times better than this one. But until we go to the point where we are agreeing to question that system, we'll still believe that, you know, that's the best we can do. But the truth is that democracy, which is coming from the word demos, which is people, and kratos, which is the power to the people, the democracy should be the right to vote your laws instead of voting for the person that should vote your laws. We should have the right to vote your laws. And what most of the people would answer, oh yeah, like there's basically two objections. The first one is that, oh, it's impossible to manage, like, let's say 65 million people who want to vote their laws simultaneously. I said, yeah, well, and until the invention of radio station, I could have agreed with you. But since now we can transfer information wirelessly, we could easily organize like national referendum and people could actually vote their law by themselves. Like TV do that job. We're spending our time voting for X Factors and The Bachelors and irrelevant and ridiculous things. But voting our law, no. And this comes to the second objection, is that people are too stupid. Like people are not wise enough. People are too stupid.
I mean, you have to be really, you have to stay informed in order to have a functioning, we have a republic, right? Representative republic. But in order to vote on things, you have to stay informed. You have to know what you're, and here in this country, we had two major universities, two professors from, one from Stanford, one from Northwestern universities that came together and they did a study, they led the study. And it showed that no matter who you put in office, I think it was 85%, I don't remember, but it was around that, of the time they don't vote with the will of the people. So it doesn't matter who you put in office, they're always voting the same and it's not with what the people want. So
exactly. So why are we continuing?
I don't know. That's the whole point. But the only way they can continue this is to keep people very ignorant and sidetracked. Hmm? Because anybody that has a brain that's aware of that is like, wait a minute, I don't want this. And so it seems like that's what you're getting, enough people that are starting to be aware, that are saying, I might be completely opposite politically than you, but I still want our voice to be heard, not just whatever they want.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what true democracy is about. It's about every voice matter. It's not just about the one that you chose to represent yourself that matter. We all matter because when you study a little bit the Constitution, like first of all, the Constitution, for those who doesn't know what it is, the Constitution is the highest supreme text of laws that is controlling the whole legal system. Like if this is the highest supreme text of law, and that everyone should be afraid of it, and especially the people in power, who should write this constitution? Does the power should write the constitution, or does the people should write the constitution?
Well, you know, some people say that we're actually a business and that we have been, the structure of our country has moved away from a democratic republic to an actual corporation. I'm sure you've heard that. And that what we do and say doesn't matter because we don't have the power, and that we have been lied to for decades that we're still running under a representative, republic. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, my thought is very simple. Like we are facing a system, and we're trying to fight humans. So we, as a human, is fighting a system. So what is happening is that when we're trying to move away a president like Macron or Obama or Bush or Trump, like what's going to happen is that the system is going to provide another puppet. So we are fighting the wrong enemy. The wrong enemy is not the puppet; it's the puppet master. And as the puppet master is hidden behind like a fog and the system itself, like we should attack the system itself. So how do we attack the system itself? Cutting the string. How do you cut the string? By removing the system, the structure that the system put in place, which is the constitution is written by the people who should be afraid of it. And that is in the rational way. Say, wait a second, there's an absolute conflict of interest. The people who are in power, who should be afraid of the Constitution, are the one writing what is there to limit their power. Like this is so obvious. This is so pathetically obvious that people like are arguing about immigration and racism and blah blah blah, and say, wait a second, what about people, the citizen, are writing the Constitution? Like how could we? Like this is such a simple idea. This is such an easy and obvious idea. Like instead of fighting against, like, oh, are you pro-vaccine? Are you pro-Trump? Are you pro-immigration? Or blah blah blah. So are you pro getting back the power? Are you pro becoming politically adult? Are you pro being politically powerful? Yes or no? Like normal people would say yes. Some people would say no. I feel I'm too stupid or I'm ignorant and blah blah blah. And this is where all of us should say, yeah, of course you're stupid and you're ignorant, like all of us. But all together, we become powerful. Like we admit that powerful people are surrounded by a huge team or a huge gang of people who are there to give them advice and everything. And the point is that okay, if we do that, what about extending that team to the whole population? Because we admit that one person is not capable of making the decision on anyone's behalf, so therefore he needs a team to surround him. What about we become the team? What about we decide and remove that person that is just a symbol? It's just a mirror of us, and say like, get out of there. We're gonna make the decision because we don't need you. We don't need you. We are the power. We are the one producing value. We are the one making everything happen. We are the one making these whole things existing. Like those people who claim to be the power are just stealing the power from us. We are the powerful. We are the employers. They are the employee. But they actually make us believe that they are the employers and we are the employee. But wait a second, like if the people stop working tomorrow, like what those people in the White House are going to do? Like are they even capable of cooking an egg? Are they capable of washing their clothes? No, they're not. Like we are the one making everything for them, and we are like naive enough to believe that they are the one in power. So the whole Yellow Vest movement, through the referendum initiated by the citizen, the RIC, RIC, referendum initiated by the citizen movement, came to the conclusion that we need to get our power back. How do we get our power back? It's basically starting with a petition that will collect, let's say, 1% of the population, where people will sign up. Let's say 1% of the population wants to change something in the constitution, and we need to have the constitutional right to trigger a national referendum from our own initiative. And if this referendum said yes, then the law is automatically applied to the constitution. We shouldn't have to ask permission to the government to say if you agree with that. Why? Because you should be afraid of it. So he's not there to tell us what to do, what to think, how to think it. He should basically say, if I am really gaining my power from the people, which is the definition of democracy, so therefore, if the people decide something, it is not my business to say what I have to say about it. It is not my business, because if I'm saying that, then therefore, I cannot claim to gain my power from the people.
What do you think about, yeah, I agree with you, but what do you think about the pushback saying that it takes, you know, when it comes to economics or it comes to, you know, healthcare or something, it takes a little bit more of an astute individual who's studied for many years to understand the dynamics of it. And if we just had the people do it, then they would be making ignorant decisions that would hurt us ultimately.
Great. That's a very great, great point. So therefore, let's be sure that we're not going to have stupid citizens. That's the point. Instead of saying, oh, we have stupid people because we make them ignorant because we could manipulate it better, then if we want democracy, then therefore we need to have real educated people. So we need to think vice versa. We shouldn't come from the statement that, oh, that's the situation. Say, that's fine. You know, we all were a baby one day and we all were ignorant. And what we did is that we made mistakes. And through the mistakes, we learned. Like, the whole idea is to put in place a system that will guarantee that the mistake will be, like, mild. Like, we're just going to slow down a little bit the mistake so we can learn in a safer way and grow all together.
Well, one thing that I've heard that I actually kind of agree with is that, you know, people that are making the decisions are so motivated by greed and selfishness that it's a kindergartner could do a better job as far as meeting the needs of the people. So I'm not sure if we would take a step backwards by doing that, but I do think that if we had people who were actually looking at the true needs of the people and experts would be better, but we're so far from that, it doesn't matter right now.
I don't believe in experts. I believe that every human being needs to learn from their own experience, and that common sense is what is connecting every human beings on this planet. Why? Because we all have something to lose. As I said before, if you are creating a machine that creates psychopaths, which will never face the consequences of their decisions, that's where the risk is. When people love the country, love their children, love, and they have something to lose, that's when they're going to make decisions based on, wait a second, my voice is now going to worth something. So therefore, before making my decision, I will make the research that I need. And that's not rocket science. When you made your study, do you just pick your university like this and say, okay, I'm just going to try that because I don't have anything to do? No, you didn't know what you didn't know. So you actually make sure that the university that you're going to choose is going to be the best one, has the best knowledge, the best education. When you bought your car, you did the same thing. You didn't know what it was, or maybe you didn't know, maybe your husband did that. And you made some research on the brake, the quality, the brand, the economics, and everything. And you learned, because if you buy the wrong thing, you're going to make a bad investment and you're going to have consequences. Politics is the only aspect of our society where we are not even allowed to even express ourselves and express that we maybe are not that stupid and that we can make decisions. So we need to separate on one side the administration of the country, which is basically like government employees who are making sure that the machine is running and that's fine, from the legislative and executive aspect, which shouldn't belong to anyone else than the whole people themselves. And this is what the French people are starting to realize, is that we've been naive enough to believe that we shouldn't have to make a system that is 200 years old. Like, our so-called representative democracy is 200 years old and hasn't changed at all. Like, in 200 years, we are not using pigeon to send mail. Like, we're using internet, we're using phone. We are not using horses to travel the country. We're using plane. But when it comes to politics, no. The politics has the president, has the chambers, and don't touch it. Wait a second, guys. Like,
so what do you think is the outcome of this? Do you think that you're going to have a ripple effect across the world? I mean, what do you think?
Yes.
Because this is a scary movement. You know, I just had somebody the other day.
Why scary?
Yeah, well, I had somebody, not scary for me, but scary for the people in power. I had someone the other day who has really connected, saying this is the movement that they're scared of.
I think first of all, a lot of people need to hear that the referendum initiated by the citizen is the enemy that the elite is scared about. It's not about us. They couldn't care less about us. They are scared about us realizing that we are powerful. Let me repeat again. They are scared of us realizing that we are powerful. Okay, so when the cat is out of the box and we're like, oh, we just remember that we are powerful and that all together we are a billion times stronger than them. And we remember that, oh, okay, so they tricked us to make us believe that by electing someone and choosing someone, we were actually, it would be easier for us, you know? And that's how they get us. They get us by laziness and by fear.
Well, they divide us. They make sure that people are ignorant. I mean, there's plans. Not everybody's in on those plans, but people who are enough to actually make a dent and actually, because in the United States, we are really dumbed down. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, and that's a message that I often say to, because I hear that every day, like all the interviews that I'm making, I say, oh, no, you know, in Canada, it's different because we're dumbed down. Oh, you know, in America, it's different because we're dumbed down. Oh, in Germany, you know, it's different because we're dumbed down. And I'm like, guys, we are all eating the same McDonald's. We're all watching the bullshit series on TV. We're all controlled by the same banking system. We all have the same legal strategy. We all vaccinate our kids following the same agenda. If you truly, again, believe that your country is different from the others, think again. It's a global system.
I've had people here who I've interviewed that said they went to France, and the average taxi cab driver is more educated than somebody who graduates from college here, because we are that dumbed down. But maybe it's because everybody's so much more pessimistic.
We have a lot of stupid people. And that's not the point, because you know what? I love people.
They're not stupid.
I don't care if you're stupid or not stupid.
They're ignorant.
What I dislike is people who are claiming to do things for your own good and use your naivety to betray you. That's the thing that I'm afraid of. And this is the whole political system, the fact that people are making money by being elected. Like, there's obviously a conflict of interest. It's like being a doctor and being paid if you're prescribing X amount of chemotherapy. This shouldn't exist. This is the most ugly thing that could exist, that you have, like, you're paid to give X amount of vaccines, or you're paid to give X amount of, like, anyone that has a tiny little bit of brain would say, like, buddy, this is not ethic. This is not moral. And we accept for 200 years that people could claim that they're going to want to control the country for your own good, where, like, good people are good people. Good people don't care about others. They don't want to control others. Sorry, it's not that they don't care about others. They don't want to control others. They just want to care about the people. They just want to do what can make people better. But they don't want to control anyone. To be in the mindset of believing that you are clever enough to control the country, or you are wealthy enough, or wise enough, or strong enough, actually only mean one thing, is that you have an ego that is bigger than all the French, like, citizen, which is, like, quite big already. Like, who can actually pretend representing all the other citizens out of crazy, insane people? And we don't, this is so obvious, this is so logic. It's like, you know, that war that I often hear between feminists and men, saying, oh, yeah, it's because of men that we are enslaved, blah, blah, blah. I say, oh, yeah, why? How do you do that? Oh, because, like, all the rich people are men. I said, like, the rich people are psychopaths. All the ultra-rich people are psychopaths. Like, okay, we have more psychopaths, mass men. Yes, I agree that. We have more men that had that ability to sacrifice everything that they have and everything that they know to reach that point where they're going to have more and more and more and more and more and more until they don't even know what to do with it. This is not normal. This is not okay. This is not something that people should look for. And a woman should be proud to have less billionaires on the planet, like saying, oh, we are less psychopaths. But instead of doing that, they're like, oh, we want to have the same amount of crazy people. Say, okay, just do it. Just try to become a billionaire, and you're going to see how miserable your life is going to be. Because life is not about being billionaire.
No,
life is about
not.
Being human being.
So now the leadership, you say that this movement doesn't have leaders. But there are certain people that are constantly being put in front of the mass media as leaders of this movement. What do you say about that?
Yeah, that's how media works. Like, media operates exactly how the government wants them to operate. So they're like, okay, find me someone that I can talk to so I can make everyone believe that if I can convince one person, everyone should be agree with that. But as I said, the cat is out of the box. So now every time that they're trying to play that game of saying, oh, we found the guy that is going to talk for the name of the Gilets Jaunes, say, fuck off. We don't recognize that man.
Okay,
he doesn't speak
sense.
For me. He doesn't speak for us. Like, so the media are going to play that game and trying to create some leaders. And some leaders are doing a great job. The ones who are doing the best job are the ones who are saying, I am not a leader. I'm not speaking on the behalf of anyone except myself. If the guy starts to say that, then he will at least have my respect. He doesn't have my vote, but he has my respect.
Well, because a lot of people are saying you're one of the emerging leaders, but they maybe just like the way that
Me?
You speak for, yeah, they like the way that you speak for the movement, but you would say that you're not a leader. You're just one of the people that are active.
When people are asking me who I am, I'm a father. That's all I am. I'm a father, I have two beautiful daughters, and I'm just done waiting for someone to change the world. So I'm just getting out of my cave and try to express my years of research about everything that is possible to create a better future. And if it resonates with you guys, just join the team. That's it. Like, because we're all educated to find excuse, you know, like, oh, I can't do that. Like, again, as I said, like the system got us through laziness and fear. So fear of not being good enough, fear of not being loved, fear of losing something, and the illusion that it's going to be too hard. You're not going to get it. It's impossible. And I'm the kind of person who every time that I hear, oh, you're not going to make it, say, oh, yeah, okay. So you give me an opportunity to prove you wrong. That's the way I've been programmed. So I had an interesting life that brought me to do a lot of different things in the alternative reality, you know, research in physics, in health, in religion, spirituality. I basically try to understand the world through my own perspective. And now that I'm just turning 40, I know I look a little bit younger, but I'm just turning 40. I'm coming to the point where I'm like, here, I just would love to share my word with the world. I don't look for fame. I don't look for power. I would be so happy to just stay in my side, with my family, but the world is going in such a bad direction that someone has to step out. And one day I just look at the mirror and I realize that I was someone and that you are someone and that all the people who are listening today are someone. And the only difference between the people who are staying home and watching TV and hoping that someone is going to do and people like me is that I realize that I'm someone. So I'm just waiting for more people to realize, buddy, you are someone. You're not perfect. I am not perfect. You're not educated. I'm not educated. I know stuff. I ignore other stuff. That's not the deal. It's about all coming together and realize that we are one. We are all together and we are powerful together. So thank you for saying that I am a leader, but I please guys, I'm not a leader. I want all of you to become leaders. I want all of you to show to yourself, to your family, to your parents, to your ancestors, to your kids, to your grandkids who are not yet there, who are all looking at you right now, that you're worth it and you're capable and we're powerful and we're strong and we're going to make it.
Well, how can people join this movement? How can they get involved?
Oh, I actually made a few videos giving many different things that people can do. So basically, a lot of people have contacted me from America saying, here we have this problem with Bernie Sanders and Trump and liberals and Republican and blah, blah, blah. And say, guys, like, the problem is that you believe that this is a problem. That's not that. It's that you believe that narrative that, oh, we need to divide around all this. The point is that, okay, what is the spirit of the Yellow Vest? First, peaceful protest. So whoever wants to bring violence into the protest isn't a part of the Yellow Vest chart. The second point is we are recommending smart civil disobedience. So smart civil disobedience is that we understand that the system works by money. So we basically are going to attack the system on the money aspect to make it weaken, to weaken him until he's going to listen to us. The third aspect is that we don't recognize any religion, any politics, any political party, any union, anything that is dividing us. Like, there's no question of white, black, yellow, rich, poor. We are all together. So there's no separation. And the fourth point is that we all only want one thing, the referendum initiated by the citizen. So referendum initiated by the citizen, which has been developed by a French teacher for 10 years, which is something that is already used in many countries in the world. Like Switzerland has that referendum initiated by the citizen. And they are perfectly happy country, you know. There are many countries who are using it in the world. Slovakia used to have one, and again, the government reduced the referendum initiated by the citizen. Switzerland did the same. Italy has a form of referendum initiated by the citizen for some specific aspect, and the French people are coming to the point where we want the constitutional right to trigger national referendum from our own initiative in all matter. Executive, legislative, international treaties, constitutional. Okay? We don't want to have to beg to be listened. We want to be the one capable of imposing the truth to the power, because as long as we are not capable of imposing that power, we will recognize that we're powerless. And this is not true. We are the power. So as powerful people, we need to behave and act and have the legal structure, the legal instrument that will allow us to impose that to the power in place.
Is there a website people can go and learn about what this initiative is, what the referendum is, you know, those kinds of things?
So you can find my YouTube channel called Referendum by the Citizens, I think it is, a YouTube channel. The best way to find me is Rick, R-I-C, Referendum Initiated by the Citizen, Roman Light on Facebook. This is where you're going to find most of my content. I also created a Twitter, but only 2 days ago, so I'm a newbie on Twitter. You have to understand that I wasn't prepared at all for what's going on. So people who think I'm a leader, like, guys, think again. I'm just a simple guy who were like just doing his stuff on his side and suddenly step up. And my only skill is that I'm speaking English. Like, that's like, not most of people speak English. And I made a lot of research in many different words.
You have more than English skills, so give me a break. I will put the links.
My superpower is that I'm speaking English and I want to give power to people. That's my message. Yeah. I want people to remember that we are amazing, that we are powerful, no matter where we are on Earth, and that we are going to change this planet.
And let's fix the underlying problems and not worry about what part of the spectrum we're in. Let's stop being divided. Let's unite and fix the basic problems. There are so many basic problems.
Which is our powerlessness.
Yes.
It's really important for the people that the political powerlessness of all the citizens of the planet is the reason why things are going wrong. The problem is not that the bad people are doing bad things. The problem is that the good people cannot do good things.
Exactly.
So it is time now for good people to stand up and say, referendum initiated by the citizens. So a good initiative, a simple initiative, is to basically buy a yellow vest thing, write referendum initiated by the citizen, Rick, on your back, or SEER, by the way, there's also the citizen initiated referendum. So this is something that is well known in the English tradition. Rick or SEER, whatever, on your back, and use it every day. You go and do your shopping, you wear your yellow suit. You go to see families, you wear your yellow suit until people ask the question, what this bloody Rick is about. Rick is the constitutional right to trigger a national referendum from our own initiative. If anyone can prove myself that this is not the solution, I'm happy to hear that. But I think today is probably my 20th interview in 10 days. And so far, I said the same thing over and over and over and over again. And every time people are like, you know what, I cannot disagree with you. It's impossible to use rational, logical argument to say, no, I'm pro people being powerless. Because it doesn't make any sense. And we saw the results of what it brought to our civilization.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Pleasure. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.